to another episode of Sport Heads Podcast. You're here with Steve, Rowdy and Brendan. How are you guys?
Going well, mate. Thank you, Steve. Thanks for having us on again.
Two weeks
in a row.
Anytime. A spot's opened up for at least another week, so...
Yeah, like Cameron Bancroft just coming into the top of the order.
Yeah. Bit of stability. Hopefully we don't run you out, so...
Yeah. Did you just compare yourself with Cameron Bancroft?
I do open the batting. Not well, but I do.
And that's sort of that's where the similarities finish.
I mean, sort of the same.
I'm West Australian.
Partial ranger. Mm. I think he's got a bit of ginge about him. Right.
Well, what's that got to do with me?
Nice. Rowdy's not a ginger, is he?
Nah.
I haven't noticed.
A distinguished red. Like a fine wine.
A distinguished... All right, I think we'll move on.
Let's just...
Welcome, boys. Yeah. Welcome, lads. Good. Welcome to all of
you.
Good
to be with you.
We might as well push forward after that. We'll get on to the Luke Beveridge.
Beveridge of the week.
And this week was my turn. So the reveal is white ale.
Well, and he's gone with quite a label.
Yeah.
It's like a picture out of Westport.
Well, I'll leave it for the podcast, but one of the reasons I got it was
because
of the label. So we'll leave it at that. Hopefully it's a good drop.
Right, well done. It is. There's a bit going on with the label. I'll give you that one. We'll come back to that one.
Look, I reckon we might as well jump straight on to Warnie's favourite subject. I reckon we hit the soccer. I think it's probably the biggest thing other than obviously the Aussies winning the first test and the start of Adelaide, but obviously the biggest thing, I believe anyway, in Australian sport at the moment.
Yeah, and it was it still kind of snuck up on me a little bit on, I think Friday night the draw was done, and Saturday morning I get up and all of a sudden the World Cup draw has been done, and it's really, really interesting to see. I think there's a fair bit of positivity around Australia's draw. Look, it's going to be tough no matter who Australia draw. They're going to be in a tough group because we are one of the lower ranked sides. I'm not sure if we're the lowest, but we're one of the lowest.
No, we're one of the lowest. What was strange for me is I'm pretty sure all the Asian sides, if not most, were in the at least bottom two tiers, if not the bottom, which I found a bit strange.
Yeah.
The Asian sides are always going to meet two pretty big sides, either European and South American
sides. It's a tough group, but given some of the other groups that are out there, not as bad as our group of death we had from 4 years ago.
And three in the top ten.
And you've got France, who obviously are one of the favourites heading in.
Yeah, France is going to be tough.
I think you could almost say that probably you'd assume that nobody or France wouldn't drop points. So, you know, we could say, look, we got the first game. We might catch them asleep if we're lucky and be able to steal a point. But if we don't, and they, as expected, come away with a comfortable victory, look, you'd expect them to beat Peru and Denmark as well. So maybe we could hang our hat on and say, well, hopefully Peru and Denmark won't get points for France. And it's really between our results with those nations. And if we can, I think, come away with a win and a draw somehow, we might get ourselves through the second round, but it will be tough.
Yeah, I definitely. Look, it's, as you said, it's not the toughest draw. I think Iran and Morocco both have Portugal and Spain in their group, so, you know, if we sat in there, that'd be a heck of a lot tougher, but we have currently the world's ranked 7th, 10th and 19th sides, so...
Yeah.
It is going to be a tough ask.
And the ranking's always a bit hard to tell.
Yeah.
I mean, I know Peru ranked 10th or 11th, and you know, a lot of people questioning, are they really the 10th best nation in the world? Maybe not. So the rankings give you a bit of a guide, I guess. But Peru's a side that, you know, we could possibly get something, get a bit of joy out of that game. But they do have a couple of match winners in there as well.
Yeah, I think there's definitely... scope, I guess, to get at least a point out of both Denmark and Peru. And obviously what we're going to need is a win somewhere along those lines.
If we can steal a win from one of those games and get, as you say, get a point elsewhere, that could be enough to get us through. There's pretty interesting ties in the group games. I mean, if you look at Group G, you've got Belgium, England, Panama, Tunisia, and it'll be interesting to watch the Belgium-England game because a lot of Belgians play in England. So that's, you know, they're going to know each other fairly well there. And you've got Another group, Germany, Mexico, Sweden, South Korea. Group F is an interesting one as well. Group B, Portugal, Spain, Morocco, and Iran. So you've got some pretty good battles there in the group games, which will give everyone a bit to look forward to as well.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I noticed Russia got a pretty favourable draw.
Yeah, Russia's
I mean,
great.
I know they're ranked 65, but if you look at who they got in there, being the host nation, they got a pretty favourable draw.
Yeah, they'd be happy with the group. Uruguay, obviously pretty strong side. Saudi Arabia and Egypt. And Russia. Yeah, Russia would fancy themselves as maybe a little smoky to get through.
Yeah, look, I'm looking forward to looking at it at the moment. I'm looking forward to the Argentina, Croatia, Iceland, and Nigeria.
Yes, and
The African nations are generally an unknown quantity going to World Cups. They can either be really good, or they can be absolutely awful. But
depends on the players' form at the time, and they, you know, some of those the players that can be absolutely hot. You know, players like Mane could be unstoppable when they're at their best. It will be dependent on a few things.
Yeah.
What a great story Iceland is, though.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm looking forward to see that back up after Euro. After that pretty big Euro they had.
Yeah, they...
It's back on European soil. So you have Argentina being the South American side.
Yeah.
So the highest ranked one, they're having to travel to Europe. So that's not going to be easy for them.
No.
So, yeah, I think that could be one of the better groups.
Smallest nation to ever make the World Cup, too, I believe, in terms of population. I think Iceland are the smallest nation ever to make the World Cup. Or I could be wrong with that. I didn't hear that. Warnie might have to do the stats for me. But,
yeah. Warnie, what was it? Were they the smallest population?
Who?
Iceland.
In what?
Okay. Warnie says no.
Lawn bowls.
But yeah, look. It's going to be a tough group. Any group was, but there's probably tougher groups there.
How do you rate Australia's chance of getting through?
I think it's going to be tough. I think realistically, if you look at where we're positioned in the rankings, how we made it through, so the inability to have that cutting edge.
Yep.
I think that needs to get fixed up. Otherwise, I think we'll find it hard scoring.
Mm.
And the problem we had in the qualifying is we tend to give away silly goals.
Yeah.
So, you know, all of a sudden coming up against better nations, they're going to be a bit more clinical. So
yeah.
We make those mistakes, we're more likely to get punished, as well as you would most likely think the defending is going to be a bit better as well. But one thing I am looking forward to is not having 10, 11 people behind the ball.
Yes. Yeah.
So to see how we actually play with another team actually coming up and trying to boss the game and play against us.
That'll be a big change for the Socceroos because they're not used to that. I think it's going to be tough for them to get through. They're a chance, but I think I don't see them getting through. Denmark have a fair bit of quality in their team. And there we go. We have the Iceland population is 333,000 people, which is unbelievable, about a third of a million.
Yeah.
So I think...
good maths, Rowdy. Yeah, isn't that... That's not bad.
Thank you for that stat there, Warnie. That is a tidy nation. So I think they are the smallest nation ever to compete in the World Cup. So well done to them.
The entire population cabin in just one little city.
Yeah, probably in a cricket ground.
Yeah. After talking about that though, all that could mean nothing really, with what's happening with the Australian football at the moment.
Yeah.
If worst case scenario, that FIFA take over and we actually may get kicked out of the World Cup. I doubt it'll happen, but it is one of the things that could happen.
So it's a possibility. I think there would have to be, imagine the uproar if that did happen.
Yeah.
But I do believe that FIFA they're a little bit disappointed with how Australia or Football Australia is running the game, and I think the constant changes. I think I'm not a fan of the fact that we just don't have much stability and we're changing CEOs, changing people in control. So, if that does happen, look, it might not be such a bad thing. Although if it means we get kicked out of the World Cup, it will be a bad thing.
The one thing I worry about is the whole issue seems to be centered around, at the moment, the clubs want more say. So basically what happens at the moment is there's a current congress of 10 members. And the A-League clubs only have one person on that congress. So there is nine from the other state and territories. So the clubs themselves want more say.
Bit more
and
power.
So does, from what it sounds like, so does Victoria and New South Wales. And they're thrown out because there is 70, they have 70 to 75% of all players. So I guess that goes down to grassroots levels as well in that country. So that's what it's all expanded on. And it's this big fight basically between how much power the FFA want to give up.
Okay, yeah. So it's not necessarily over money, it's more power?
From what I heard, they want, part of it is they want more funding. They want more money back, the clubs do. Now, the problem I see with that is there's two places it's coming from, and that's the national side, and that's grassroots.
Mm.
So whether or not us as a sporting public, soccer fans, want to see more money taken from grassroots and the national side. I mean, looking at rugby, that's where they're suffering at the moment. Grassroots level.
Yeah.
And we've seen what's happened to, especially Union, over the past decade. With funding cuts from there, I don't see that as a good idea. So, although it's great to say we want to give the clubs more money, because more money means better players, better professionalism, but it's got to come from somewhere. And I think I read the, we can't even hang a hat on the next TV rights deal because that's not for another 5 to 6 years.
Oh, is that right? Yeah. It's interesting because in soccer or football, the grassroots stuff they do really well. They do it better than any other code, I think, in Australia, or certainly in WA. Perth, it's it's massive and it's the most popular sport, and I think that's a trend all around Australia. Grassroots level, they do it really well. The higher you go, probably it drops off a little bit in terms of how professional things are run.
Yeah.
And I guess, when you look at the national competition, it's doing well, and it's reached a decent standard, but it probably has just plateaued the last couple of years. And since it's plateaued, the interest has just waned off a little bit. And there's a few problems for the Football Australia to sort out. But whether it comes into the FIFA taking over, it'll be interesting. Your thoughts, Warnie, on that one?
Kudos.
Here. Play on. It's an advantage.
I'm a little intrigued, actually. And obviously, excuse my ignorance for not really knowing nothing about soccer. I'm really trying to find a pretty way to paint that up, but no, it just didn't happen. You're saying that there's a slight risk that Australia can actually get pulled from the World Cup.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah. I don't think it'll happen. So, Don't get me wrong, I'm not sitting here.
I don't think you
actually
guys like
scared,
Channel 7
but
being a sensationalist media.
That's not our future prediction, by the way.
No, that's not a future prediction. Oh, but that is a
possibility. Sensationalist media.
Yeah. I brought it up just to probably get out there that it is a serious issue that's happening. I mean, football's come a long way in this country since NFL, since it was pretty much run into the ground.
Yeah.
Sort of by the model that the clubs want to get back to. And it's just come a long way. Yes, it has plateaued. Unfortunately, we've kind of reached this limit of how many people were able to get to the game. So we need to come up with another idea to get that up. And I think that is the next
thing we need to solve. I think something that has hindered that a little bit as well in the A-League competition is the Big Bash, the success of the Big Bash. You think about that came in, 6-7 years ago now?
Yeah.
And the A-League's probably been 9 or 10 seasons, or maybe even more than that.
We're up to BBL 7 coming up.
And you think about it, the BBL's just gotten bigger every year. That's something that hasn't plateaued. It's getting bigger and bigger, and it runs at the same time as the A-League, basically, over a slightly shorter period, obviously, but I think that is another contributing factor. People aren't, that time of year, December, January, it's really all about the Big Bash. That's knocking the A-League
way off the Australian page. Summer, really, isn't it? It's cricket.
Yeah.
I suppose it's fairly sort of common as to what a lot of us have grown up with. You know, you've got your winter, your footy, and then your summer is your cricket.
But it's always been test cricket or international cricket, not also then domestic cricket. So now you've got domestic
the Canberra Comets.
Brad Haddon started there, didn't he?
Yeah.
Now you've got not just Test cricket, international one days, but you've also got the domestic cricket. You know, the Big Bash is almost getting as much attention, almost as much attention as what the Ashes has got. Be close to it, and you know, A-League's been bumped further back.
Well, the Cricket Australia and that, they've done marvels there in actually sort of the promotion of the game, really.
Mm.
They identified that the whole bash and crash of Big Bash is going to be something that just appeals to more people.
Mm.
You know, in the three hours that it's on, it's good fun. 90 minutes of soccer, and let's be honest, it can be pretty bland for 85 of that.
Oh, I don't know if you're watching Liverpool. Lots of goals flying.
I feel there's a loaded question.
My argument to that is, you only find it bland because you don't like the sport.
I don't like the sport.
I can say the same thing about
yes.
league.
Oh, yes, because the Australia-England game was a point fest on the weekend. 6-0.
Well, still one more try. Than you'd find in a soccer game. Come
yeah,
on.
But that's because you get more than 1 point for a try.
Yeah. Okay, so it's still 1-0. That's a win. nice try, Rowdy. Look, in all honesty, I mean, I joke about it, and I like to take the mickey that I'm not a fan of soccer, and yeah, there's a lot of reasons why I don't watch it, but at the end of the day, you know, I admire the sport for what it is. I think there's a lot of prima donnas and whatnot in there, and divas and the like, but you're going to find...
Respect
the
skill.
Sport.
Yeah.
Correct, yeah.
Lindsay Thomas, let me remind you.
Yeah. How is he going over there? Has he started training yet?
I don't know. I hope not.
Yeah, better be in the swimming pool. Yeah. But no, look, I know enough about soccer in terms of how it's played and all that sort of thing there. I have played it in my lifetime, both juniors and seniors.
And in your lunch break?
And in my lunch break, yeah, that's right. I need to have a think about that for a second. How did you know that? This was our conversation last
previous
week.
Previous conversation.
Yeah,
on the podcast.
Save it for last week's podcast.
Yeah. I know enough about what's going on with it to actually still draw an opinion in the game, I think. But probably a bit less educated than many, I suppose, because I don't really pay too much attention to it.
Hmm. Fair call.
Fair call. But yeah, so that's it. So, I mean, that's all going to... We're probably going to know over the next couple of days. The next step, I think FIFA should be coming back to either say we're going to be dissolving the current board and taking over, or if it's going to go further up the chain. So yeah, that's something that'll probably come out the next couple of days.
Be interesting. Just something I just seen very recent news is that the Socceroos job obviously up for grabs at the moment, and Serbian World Cup qualifying coach, and I'm not sure about the name here, Savojab Muslin, could be the pronunciation, is linked to the Socceroos, possibly he was a SAC Serbian 2018 FIFA World Cup qualifying coach. And
can you say that name again, Randy?
Oh, well, let me have a look.
Savojab
Muslin? Yeah, I'm not doing that again. But we'll just go with that. We'll go with Muslim.
Slav.
Just
go with Slav.
Slav.
We'll
Slav.
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 Yeah, Slav.
Even though his name's Slav.
Old Slav then.
Old Slavo.
Slavo.
Yeah.
Slavo. Okay, so what's Slavo's credentials?
Slavo. He loves a barbecue. He loves a barbecue and a beer on a Sunday.
Yeah.
What's
Slavo done?
Look, he's got Serbia to the World Cup, and for some reason they've gotten rid of him. So maybe he should have gotten them into the World Cup a bit better.
Maybe they're looking to do a swap with Ange.
Maybe. Well. He's actually linked to a job somewhere in Asia that Ange is also linked to.
Mm.
So it's interesting. And apparently German legend Jürgen Klinsmann was asked about the Australia... Well, not asked to coach for Australia, but he was given questions about it, and sort of they asked for his input on on possible candidates, and Muslim was one that he gave. So look...
I heard that he actually expressed interest... That he'd be happy to coach him as well.
There we go. All right. So a bit of news happening there. So it may not be a local coach.
Since we're talking about, since Brendan brought up boring sports and low scoring sports, I reckon we might as well go on the World Cup.
Yeah, there we go.
The
I was going to review the local lawn bowls comp, but anyway.
I'd prefer that.
I suppose you are a seasoned campaigner, aren't you, old fossil? I think in the height of it all, I don't think it was as big a disappointment as what people are sort of bringing out here. And I think I was actually a bit disappointed, right? I was watching the news the other day, and this is a World Cup. So regardless of what sport it is, it's a World Cup, and yet it was still so low on the pecking order in sports being discussed in the news. I thought you could obviously see, and that's probably just the whole Perth thing. I think it's kind of like that bubble. You know, Perth's always been cricket, footy, you know, basketball, a bit of soccer and that sort of thing. Obviously, rugby league, or even union for that matter, is not going to receive as much airtime as a lot of those sports.
Well, it was. Union was.
Union was getting
screwed.
Granted, but still not as much as... I mean, you put aside the whole Western Force foray there. If it wasn't a case of the Western Force being pushed out of the league, would we have still got enough as much airtime? Probably not.
Well, I reckon you take AFL out of the market. I think there's quite even share in a lot of the other sports.
I get that, but I'm just sort of thinking, like, from a... If you're watching the news and they're just going through the sports results, you know, rugby league or a World Cup, you would figure would be at least one that's probably higher up there. Regardless of the sport, I think, like, Australia loves to get behind our own team,
yeah,
regardless of what sport, traditionally. So it was a bit disappointing.
Especially when they're a good chance of winning, Australia always do in the league.
I think it was because it was a good chance. I think because everyone had already talked about it beforehand that they were going to win. So
the most
just lost the third.
And Australia are
3 for 4.
And those listening live, if you're probably watching the cricket too.
Yeah, you'll probably hear this and already know it happened tomorrow, but Davey Warner just got caught by the second.
Yeah, he scored the second slip.
What's that, straight to DeGeneres?
Yes.
Second slip's taken the catch. It went actually fairly slowly.
But no, sort of where I was going is I'm just not sure it sort of receives the same amount of airtime. And I think that's just a case where not in rugby heartland. I think if you were to...
Do you watch a lot of Fox Sports News?
I don't watch a lot of news, full stop, let alone...
Well, they did cover it.
If you want to talk about
telecasts,
that covers rugby. And especially World Cup, a heck of a lot.
Okay.
So it depends what you have. And that's the same with if you look at NBL, A-League, you will highly likely not hear very much on that on your free to wear.
That would be
if you're a Royal Sports fan out there.
Fox Sports News is running out of New South Wales, if I'm not mistaken.
Probably it's over east.
Yeah,
it's sometimes New South Wales, sometimes Melbourne, or sometimes Sydney, sometimes
Melbourne.
So
Melbourne.
Okay,
so they're a bit of both.
Yeah,
but
so that'd be more reserved footy, the one in Melbourne, I would have thought.
Probably. I think that's where they do AFL 360 and all that.
Yeah.
I mean,
where they actually do the news side of Fox Sports, I don't know.
I mean, it's interesting. During the footy season, I notice, even on Fox Sports, there's a slight tendency to favour AFL more than NRL, like when games are on Friday night or whatever.
Yeah.
The Fox Sports will generally, maybe not always, but generally lead with the AFL over the NRL. So I think even they sort of see that footy is maybe slightly broader. And because it appeals to more states in the nation, I guess.
Let's be honest here, it's probably got the wood over AFL in two states.
Yeah.
Everywhere else,
yeah.
Correct.
So it's like anything. You're going to talk about it. Like, I have the same gripe with listening to sports radio when they have, you know, they ring in for discussion and it always leads to football.
Yeah.
Even the off-season. Always leads to Aussie rules.
Yeah.
But...
Let's talk about the draft as well, by the way.
What about that rookie draft with Lindsay Thomas?
Let's bring that up. Talk about that again.
I don't think it's as irrelevant as what perhaps some people are saying.
By some people, you mean Steve.
I'm not going to point fingers. Pointing at Steve.
Fingers are being pointed.
Fingers are being pointed. But no, like, I think there's a vision here from rugby league across the world. The next World Cup's going to be held in England, where they're actually trying to seek out 1 million for attendance. I think it was up around 700,000-odd last time it was in England, I think in 2009, something like that.
Do what they do in the women's AFL, give the tickets away free, you'll get your 1 million in attendance.
Yeah, I'm not sure how that would work, but anyway.
I still wouldn't go.
I still wouldn't either.
And they're actually looking to increase the teams by another two for next year.
Why? Would you increase? Hold up. Would you increase the Cricket World Cup? The amount of teams
depends.
Yeah, you would.
Here we go.
Who are they going to invite in?
Yeah. Who wants to get flogged?
Yeah, no, I'm not sure yet. And then what actually strikes me as very peculiar is the 2025 World Cup's actually going to be held in the US and Canada. I'd like to.
They didn't even compete this year, did they?
Yeah, the US did.
No, they did.
Yeah.
Okay.
Canadian, or was that only
Canadian?
Hey?
It must have been only the women's Canada played then.
Because
I know Canada played one of them, so it must have been the women. Because I think they're the ones that got flogged by like 80-something to nil by Australia.
Yeah. Mm. Good news about the women getting up too. So you had the women double with the men.
I think this is probably another part of it, is the advertisement of it here in WA was absolutely deplorable.
Mm.
Like, to be honest, I mean, granted I don't get to watch a lot of TV a lot these days, apart from what's on cricket really, but... to those that probably don't follow league, you wouldn't have known there's a World Cup on. And to be honest, I follow league to a fair degree, and I didn't even know there's a Women's World Cup on until I saw the result of the Australian men's game.
Yeah, it was very quiet. That is the Captain Smith on his way.
Smithy.
The ball is doing a lot. Anderson 3 for 10.
That did nothing. That was just...
I missed that. Was that LBW?
Yeah.
Oh, he's going to go upstairs, which is good.
So
goes our reviews.
Yeah.
Last review, Gordon.
England all of a sudden a sniff.
Well, they didn't beat Australia in the rugby league. But.
No. But the competition was actually a lot closer than people think. I mean, yeah, Australia probably anticipated absolutely walking over England.
He's done.
That's hitting leg.
It was only if he was pitching outside. So
it's hit his front pad first, but yeah, it's going to go surely onto the leg.
Inside edge.
Oh. That's wishful thinking.
Well, there's a hot spot.
There is.
Like
I think
well, below,
it's
the
well
ball.
Below the ball. He might have brushed his pad on the way through. Actually, I think he's brushed his back shoelace on the way through. Nothing showing on Sneeko.
Shoelace, ball, same thing. But anyway, getting
back. Yeah, I thought the most interesting stuff that I heard in the lead up to the League World Cup was about the players playing different countries, Fiji, Tonga, and
outside
and not,
leg.
And not,
hey!
Ooh, wow, there we
saved
go.
By outside leg. Anderson's going to be spewing.
Yeah, and that is
that's three wickets to DRS.
Especially when it's the Palms. We're talking about the cricket scene, but they have not had a good run with the DRS.
They've been unlucky.
They
haven't deserved to be winning.
Sean Marshall looked plumb live. He looked out, Sean Marshall won, but he apparently was going over. Anyway. It was good to see though some players that could have played for Australia opt to go, and that did strengthen the competition. There was a couple of upsets, there was some closer games. It meant Australia weren't as dominant, and that was better for the competition. I think it made the competition fair, and it was good to see that they could have just gone, I'll play for Australia, we'll win, no worries. They went to their countries of origin, I guess, where they were born, and I think it made it a more even comp.
Good to see, and hopefully they continue on with that.
Yeah,
it does. I know there's a lot of rules in terms of eligibility criteria, and that, especially if you're playing state of origin, well, then you've basically pledged your allegiance to Australia. So it was interesting to see that, but they've obviously relaxed that, and I think for the goodness of the sport, I think that's a brilliant idea.
Yeah.
So hopefully they continue that into the future and still continues to grow and develop. I mean, obviously it's a comp that's basically been stopped starting since the 1950s, really. It hasn't been there 54 years exactly, so it's not like it's had the fair run at it like a lot of other sports have had. I suppose
the reason I actually brought this topic up was because I just feel that it lacks a lot,
advertising.
I just feel if you're going to a competition pretty much already knowing who's going to make the final, or out of three teams, who's going to make the final?
Yeah, there's not enough.
I think it's disappointing for the comic because you don't want to watch it. It's exactly like the only reason why I tune into every five tests in this series, if we're flogging the Poms, is because it's the Poms. I mean, if that's the West Indies, you kind of lose interest because there's no competition.
Yeah,
I mean, even now it makes the game more interesting knowing that England are fighting back and we're on the ropes at the moment. In the second innings. So, one of the things I took out actually looking at it was there's been 15 competitions since 54.
Yep.
There's been three winners.
Yep.
It's Great Britain, who are no longer in there. Mm-hmm. I think they must have been dissolved into
Brexit.
Scotland. Yeah. Wales, England. But they have three.
Yeah.
New Zealand have one.
Yeah.
Australia had 11.
Yeah.
You know, then you go to runners up, and you've got France twice, Great Britain four times, England three, New Zealand three, and Australia three. So I take out of that that Australia has only not made the final once, and that was the very first one.
Yeah.
So it you know, it gets to that point where, yes, Australians love to see their side win.
And that team should hang their heads in shame.
What do we like? We do also like to see competition.
We do.
And
we love an
exactly,
underdog too,
exactly,
don't we?
Exactly. And it is exactly why that everyone other than Hawthorn supporters were so happy this year that they didn't make the finals.
Yeah.
Because it was a final series without Hawthorn.
So you think the tall poppy syndrome, it carries on to our own league team. We don't want them to win. They keep winning.
No, not that. We want some competition.
Yeah, no, you,
like,
it makes it interesting.
When it's kind of disrespectful to the competition, really. When the start of the World Cup, so 2 weeks out, the whole Australian media was talking about, can anyone beat Australia?
Yeah.
Not can Australia make the final.
Yeah.
How do you think, who can beat Australia? Can anyone? And the answer was always no.
It just aren't.
And in fact, it turned out to be no one.
It just comes down to there aren't enough countries in the world that really play league and take it seriously and get involved. And even some of the countries that do take union more seriously. And, you know, obviously New Zealand, very strong union, they take union more seriously.
I mean, if I liken it to the Cricket World Cup, they've had 11 competitions since 74. We've had Australia win 5 times. So again, still pretty dominant. But we've had India twice, Pakistan once, Sri Lanka once, West Indies twice.
Yeah, look at the South Africans as well. They don't even have a side in the rugby league.
Yeah, I was wondering. I haven't seen them involved, so they didn't even have a team.
Did they have a women's one?
Couldn't tell you.
Let's double check.
To the research team.
He didn't even know there was a Women's World Cup 2 days ago.
Well, that's exactly. Well, in all honesty, how I actually found out is driving home from the cricket club on Saturday night. I was corner of Leadable there, and there was a bloke out there wearing an Aussie shirt, and I just said, "Oh, what's the result?" And he's gone, "Yeah, Australia won." It's like, "Oh, you beauty." So that's
happy days.
Yeah.
Well, there we go.
But again, with the cricket one, when there was a point where people said Sri Lanka will never win a World Cup.
Yeah.
You know, when they came, they'll be horrible when they got to their first World Cup comp. They won one.
Are they going to be wearing their little masks in the next one?
Yes,
I thought we just had a team of doctors go out there.
Apparently, the pollution in Delhi is terrible. Apparently, the pollution is really bad.
Well,
so,
what is there, like a billion people?
Yeah, yes. I think there's a few more than Iceland. There's about 20 Icelands.
Yeah.
More than that.
So where's India in the Soccer World Cup then? Why don't they have a team there?
Yeah, probably all poisoned from the pollution.
There we are. We've
looks
just
like we've India's a billion people. We've now crossed
that. I'll just go cross that one off the list. Good one, Rad.
Well, that's all right. We might as well talk smack about Kohli then.
it doesn't
matter.
There goes our sport heads tour to India next year.
Wait, that'd be good.
You haven't told me that one.
Next away series.
Sport heads on tour.
Sport heads on tour.
Can we get a sponsor for that?
Can
it could be like Save Your Legs. We get a small touring team of cricketers over there.
We could try the Warnie one and get Baked Beans to sponsor us, maybe.
We could do that. Vegemite.
Vegemite. Yeah.
And
what else did he use?
420s and
the Mrs. Max.
Yeah.
Was it 420s?
All of them.
It?
We might need about
all
$3,000 or $4,000 each at least.
Thins.
Thins. we've been chomping on the CCs for a while as well.
Yeah.
So.
Yep.
We can explore our options, guys.
Yeah. But I mean, that's like you want to talk. Talk about World Cups that you didn't even know existed. I didn't even know there was a basketball World Cup.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
I didn't realize that until they had the
The qualifiers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They had the qualifiers on, and I'm like, why the heck is there like a off round in the NBL?
Yeah.
I'm thinking they got a week break. I'm like, why is that for?
I thought we were just playing a friendly basketball game, and then turns out they're World Cup qualifiers.
Well,
I'm like, well,
there
must be a World Cup then.
I mean, don't feel too bad if you're rugby league. I mean, I knew we had a World Cup, at least.
Well,
so I think we all did, but did any of us here knew we had a basketball World Cup?
Well, maybe Warnie could do some research to see if there's a lawn bowls World Cup.
That'd be good.
To the Google
Mobile. There's a darts
called the Cracker Jack.
Darts
World Cup.
Surely there must be a World Cup.
Yeah,
darts,
there probably
other
is.
Competition.
10-pin bowling World Cup.
Yeah, there is. Oh, they do one of the whole. They do the whole, as they do in golf and pool, the Europeans versus Americans. in Bowen.
Oh, do they?
I actually saw it on Fox Sports the other night.
I did.
Many random just, sports you can
just,
see on
just, just had on IQ, did you?
No, I was flicking. There's nothing on telly, so I'm flicking through and I'm like, bowling, wow.
There we
and
go.
No word of a lie, this United States guy had this big-ass afro.
Yep.
And he had, like, Fellaini? This colourful... Yeah, he had a Marion Fellaini afro going, and he had this, like, real colourful American shirt with his jeans and a big belt buckle. And I'm like, what's he from, the 70s? I think he won his game, actually.
Yeah, well, 10 pin bowling is a good sport. I was in a bowling league briefly. Oh, that was good fun. Good fun.
Just
back in the day. It was 236, I think it was.
Oh, crap. I think mine is like 120 something.
I think 236 in a fluke one day. But yes, we digress slightly.
Yeah.
Yeah, just on the World Bowls.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, here we go.
There is a World Outdoor Bowls Championships, which is rather strange. There's singles and mixed pairs and men and women. What I find is the most interesting part of all of this, actually, is on the World Bowls website, if you actually get in there and have a look,
what's the website?
Worldbowls.com.
Oh, worldbowls.com.
It's got anti-doping laws now.
Two
questions. Wow. Why would we need anti-doping laws in bowls?
You know,
if they've got a massive bicep.
Bowls, right? Have you seen bowls? Like, I remember watching again on Fox.
Yeah.
And surprisingly, there was all these, like, 20-odd-year-olds in this World Bowls tournament.
That's
like,
my next question. Who do you reckon the actual winners are? What age bracket?
Oh, I would say young.
They are younger than us.
You need stamina, I would, just to stand out. No, you do. You need a strong arm. Like, young blokes generally have strong arms. The leading arm's generally strong.
where are we going here?
Talking about who's going to be the best bowlers.
See, the doping, would that be trying to strengthen your bicep? Or like, so you've got one big arm?
Well,
and
no, is that like, have you seen the...
I think that's what they do with the cheap beers.
Have you seen the arm wrestling?
Guys, no, is there an arm wrestling comp?
Yeah, there is. And they build up their one arm. So like, I just watched this video and this guy has like a Popeye arm. And then like a little 14-year-old and it was the strangest freaking thing.
Yeah.
So he's been spending a lot of time self-pleasuring.
Pretty much, that's what it looks like.
I wonder how he goes about buying jumpers. Yeah. I mean, one big sleeve and one little one.
There's the Commonwealth Games there as well, for the World Bowls, and of course you got the World Championships, which the next one's 2020 in on the Gold Coast.
Sports trip. 2020.
Yeah. We can be sponsored by Lawn Bowls or Champion Bowling, whoever you reference
pretty
sure before.
They'd be struggling for finances already, Matt. I don't think they'd be allocating any to us.
We can help with that by giving him a plug.
Yeah,
anti-doping laws will help with that.
Okay. On that note, we're going to go to a quick break to our non-existent sponsors.
Welcome, sport heads. Welcome back to Rowdy's dining table.
It's a nice dining table.
It's a glass one. Don't leave it outside.
Well, it's got beers on it, so it is a nice dining table.
Happy days.
And jigsaw puzzles for stubby coasters. So good.
For white rabbits.
White rabbits, yep. So now welcome back, boys. Might jump into the highlights of our week.
Highlights.
What, Steve's holding up everything. Okay.
He's holding up everything. Stop holding everything up.
Rowdy, we'll get you kickstarted, mate. What's been your designated highlights for the week?
Highlight of the week. I enjoyed Saturday night just kicking at home, watching the Premier League. It was a big night of entertainment. Look,
what were you kicking?
Just the donut that's sitting over there. It was like a big win for my team. Liverpool 5-1 against Brighton. That was entertaining. We scored some cracking goals. Really entertaining stuff on the counter attack when Liverpool got space. You know, the likes of Firmino, Coutinho, Mane, even though Mane wasn't playing in this game, but some of those players linking up, it was just always a joy to watch. And there's some really good games. So look, Newcastle hit the lead against Chelsea. Chelsea unfortunately came back, 3-1 win. The United-Arsenal game, really entertaining. Arsenal had a lot of chances, wasted a lot of chances. United, 3-1 victors over Arsenal. That was always going to be the game of the round.
De Gea have a record like 13, 14
He made Arsenal had 33 attempts on goal, and I think something like 12 or 13 shots on target scored.
Sounds
one
like a dominant performance.
So they did dominate.
Back of the net,
but they still lost 3-1. So, and the Tottenham-Watford game, I mean, watching on the Premier League, I love having the goal rush on a Saturday night. You know, obviously the Liverpool game is the main game, but seeing all the goals happening and the drama from the other games, Watford-Tottenham, one will draw, Sanchez sent off, Watford should have late penalty, there's a big handball in the box, no penalty awarded, so Tottenham survived with the point. It was all happening. So, yeah, for me, Premier League, Saturday night, great, great stuff. Yeah,
and that's one thing that they do well. Again, yeah. Everything that might not,
yeah.
The goal rush is just awesome.
Oh, yeah, the goal rush.
You don't have to, like, hit the red button and go across, which was always a bit of a nuisance because it's hard to get back to the original game.
Mm.
It was you can watch that one game, and then any time there's a goal or a good save, it'll just flick over.
Yeah, it is good. At the start, it was a little bit frustrating when I was watching Liverpool play and they're making a burst down the wing or something. All of a sudden, it goes to the little small screen and I think, oh, this is actually a bit annoying. But generally, they time it fairly well now. They time it when it's not really interrupting the game, and I find it very, very good. It informs you and you get to see all the drama from the other games. So, yes. Maybe you throw it over to Steve. What's your highlight of the week?
Mine was the Cats winning away.
Yeah, big win.
It was a big win. It was after starting the season with none and two. Two tough road trips at the start of the season. We lost to Cairns after having a backup. And then we lost to away to New Zealand.
Yep.
We then had the road double and won.
Yeah.
And then to go to New Zealand and get a win where a loss would have seen us again drop back in the pack. And New Zealand stretched that lead.
And with New Zealand losing as well to the Bullets on Sunday, so they've dropped further back.
Yep. And not just that, it was a big win, and it was Jesse Wagstaff.
How many threes was that in the last quarter?
Four in the space of 2 minutes.
Four in 2 minutes.
Yeah, it wasn't the last, it wasn't the whole ten. It was four in 2 minutes. Right at that point where the Breakers were coming back into the game, they got back within two. And then he just caught fire, and that was it. It was game over.
He's when he's on fire from 3 point, you just give him the ball. Yeah. Give him the ball. Just keep shooting until you go cold.
Last year's playoffs, when a lot of our stars were having bad games, him and the rest of the bench.
Often he's the one on the road that ignites them when they need something. They need a spark, and they're struggling to score away from home. Give him the ball. He shoots a couple of threes. Yeah. Sparks everyone back up again. And Takoto, my original big dog, he's dominating still. I loved his steal. They just tried to pass it over him. He didn't even have to jump. He just had the reach and then the dunk.
I think that was the inaugural big dog.
The inaugural big dog. Yeah.
I feel like we need a placard of some sort.
He might go back to, well, not back to back, but he might go the double. You never know.
Should we look to try and tee up presenting him a placard of sorts?
Yeah. I'd be happy to present him something.
Shout out with
that. Yeah, yeah. Doesn't sound like a good thing. You'll be happy to hand over something.
Yeah, that present him with something. That might not go down well at the Perth Arena.
It'll be an award, we promise.
The players not far from my members' seat, the players actually enter the arena, so I could probably drop a plaque and just hope it doesn't hit him on the way down, perhaps.
Yeah. From the sport heads, JP Takoto gets knocked out before the game. Can't play.
Yeah. Hey, what a plug for the team. Okay. What else would that be?
I think on that note, what was your highlight? Yeah.
Just before I go into it, actually, we haven't noticed here. Where's your hat tonight, mate?
Oh, it's in the car. I know.
And the listeners haven't noticed the hat. Yeah, oh, that's very poor. They're not very observant, are they?
It is in the car. I brought it. I was like, I need to take the hat. I always wear the hat.
Yeah, as long as you've got the Liverpool headphones.
I think you need to wear it to bed tonight.
Yeah, okay. I promise.
Are you going to check, Warnie?
Yeah. Get us on Snapchat. We'll just
send you Snapchat. Go to bed now.
I'll be sleeping with one eye open if I see that.
Nah, look, my... obviously, apart from the Aussies winning the World Cup and the Rugby League, which was good to see, I'm going to... Probably not surprised now, because I've told you this before anyway, but... the game of, was it Benevento versus AC Milan? And the goalkeeper decides to run up for the final play of the game in the 95th minute, if I'm not mistaken, and just level the game with a 1-1.
I'm not sure.
It wasn't just that he scored. It was the type of header. It was literally off the ground, horizontal.
I haven't seen it. I'm going to have to look at this highlight.
He threw himself the ball. He wouldn't be able to do it again.
First draw win in, 14 games as well. And to do it against AC Milan.
I'm assuming they were promoted. So, I wonder if that's the first points ever in the Serie A.
Could be. The look, I always love at the end of games, soccer games, when the goalkeeper has to go forward. It's always entertainment. There's going to be a good chance either way, and well, yeah, I've seen it.
Creates that extra look. Person in attack,
and then, it leaves their own goal open. Yeah. So
I'd love to see that.
Yeah.
Has it ever happened? Do we know if the goalie's gone up in the final play?
Oh yeah,
and the ball's just ended up going straight. Yeah, the ball's gone straight back down.
It's happened
yeah.
Heaps,
yeah, you normally don't see it because the game's over by then anyway. It's just like icing on the cake. But it does happen.
Yeah,
and I've seen it happen before. I've seen someone, I think, dribble the ball and just dribble all the way up into an open net, pretty much.
Oh, fair enough.
There we go.
We might.
We might as well chat about the Ashes.
Yeah.
And
I was going to say, this seemed like far too short. I'm sure we missed something.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's funny how the whole conversation has now changed over the last hour.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
We've gone from 1 foot to 4 for 50, and it's game back on. So. Oh,
and we got the Night Watchman in Gorgeous Gary on.
Yep. Gazza, the guy who can do everything.
Gary. Yeah. Now, from what I've watched, actually, it's great to see Marshy obviously turn up. Huge highlight for him. Good to see Payne get on the board there as well with the second top score. I think 57 from memory.
T-Pain.
Yep.
Unfortunately, he went straight down the throat of the deep square leg. But
yeah. Probably chasing the quicker runs as well. So I think,
I think he just couldn't help himself. He loves to hook and pull. He loves the short ball. And I think he just impulsively hit it. And then as soon as he looked up, he was like, whoops, picked him out.
Yeah.
That happens.
Yeah, it happens. They can all get lost out in the cow paddock out there. So you turn around, you play the shot, and you go, oh, okay, there he is.
I mean, that innings by Paddy's looking pretty important now.
Yeah.
With our failings at the moment, our strugglings.
Yep.
4 for 52, that extra, I think, 90, what have I got down? 90-odd he put on?
Yep.
Yeah, 90, 99 with Sean Marsh.
Yeah.
Which is a massive effort. So
he's been in good form with the bat.
Yeah, of course. You got the GOAT at the moment, who is now officially the leading wicket taker in lesser tests than half the boys there as well.
Yeah.
For the year. So that's phenomenal work from him as well.
Gary.
And I haven't seen the full flight of it just yet, but he's taken an absolute rip snort to the south.
Yeah.
A couple apparently. Mitchell Starks was pretty good too.
Yeah.
Yeah, Stark, I think the juggler, two attempts at it, but the line catch is the one that's gonna be viewed all around the world.
Yeah.
A bit of a ripper. But look, England, I think they'll be disappointed that this morning, in the light of day, that they batted so poorly. I think everyone expected them to lose wickets with the pink ball at night. They only lost one last night until the rain came in. so the fact that they only lost one wicket in the lights, they lost the majority of their wickets early in the day. I think they will be disappointed by that, because conversely, Australia, when they batted on day one, they batted well during that same period with the new ball. So that, at the moment, has been the difference. How they combated the new ball in that early, first session of the day or second session of the day. But they fought back well in the night session here, and they might just, start to level things up. Give themselves a little bit of a sniff.
Yeah.
Well, we might have a game tomorrow,
Game on.
Australia will be probably looking to bat time more than anything, really, tomorrow. Just try to get as close to that night session as possible.
Well, you've got the big ones out already.
We've got a couple of form bats coming. Marsh has been looking good. Cummins has been good. Cummins should probably go ahead of Stark in the order where Stark's gone. But and we know our tail can get a few runs. Although we're well played to the English tails today. They batted well.
Their tail, the bottom. I think the bottom five put on over 100.
Yeah,
Overton top scored.
Overton
took the most wickets for him and top scored.
Yeah.
So
they were saying he can bat, but one of the reasons he didn't play in Brisbane is his form in the practice matches with the bat, funnily enough, was horrible. He got a few ducks, and they were considering putting him in. And one of the factors that maybe, we certainly have. I think one of the factors in the end was his form with the bat, and his form with the ball probably wasn't as good as he would have liked as well. But he's showing what I guess England initially thought is that he's got runs in him down there.
Yep.
So good on them. Probably in the first session today, you would have thought it's nearly game over, but they fought back towards the end of the day.
I still think their attack is a bit too much same.
And so, if the ball's not swinging, and it's not swinging,
I mean, you take this same,
it's not quick
to the whacker. I don't know if it can be as devastating. Or we know, although we do know at the whacker, when the doctor comes in, you can get some late swing.
Yeah.
So that might come into play, but
I think that the main difference is the Australian, all Australian quicks bowl 140, 145 k's an hour. The England quicks are 125 to 135. They're not as quick, and if the ball's not swinging, you know, then it's not going to be as effective.
Pedestrian.
Mm.
Yeah. Well, it's all it looks like it may have, well, before obviously this innings now, it all came down to the toss. Very interesting decision from old Ellen.
Mm. Yeah, I got here. Who would have thought that another English captain would send us in after NASA did it? So
At Adelaide
of all places. Like, I know, I think put too much on, you know, it's overcast, going to have the night, we could get it to swing, but still a good batting game.
Put a lot of pressure.
I mean,
a lot of pressure on the bowlers to perform. And the bowlers looked like they're under pressure the way they bowled. They just didn't bowl well.
A bit too short. We still should win. And then he's going to look back and go, well, what could have been if we were able to get on there and just transfer that pressure straight away and maybe get 300 or 350 and then get the ball for the first time in a session like tonight and then put the pressure straight back on us.
Any score over 300 is going to be hard for them to chase down. Like you say, with the quicks under the lights, but then you got line during the day.
Yeah.
And, you know, even if we are bowling during the day, on the fourth, fifth day at the Adelaide Oval, you know, line's going to get turned. He's going to get more turned. He's going to... You know, he's going to be a real handful.
They don't like spin on the last day.
No, they don't. Not at Adelaide Oval, that's for sure.
Adelaide Oval's currently the best bowler. Yeah. So, most wickets for the year. So
the GOAT.
He is the GOAT. And obviously, he's just taken probably arguably one of the best catches you'll ever see, too.
Mm.
Stokes made his long awaited comeback.
Oh,
for two?
Did he only get two?
He got two,
I think he chopped on.
Yeah.
Was that
no footwork? It just was a lazy shot.
Was that 2 years or?
Yeah.
Oh, two runs you're talking
two
about.
Runs,
oh,
yeah.
Sorry.
I see what you did.
Yeah.
But hardy ha ha.
So first game and only got two. And a few guys putting pressure on with the bat as well. I think Maxi got another 90 odd today.
Yeah, 96 against WA.
Okay, good.
I think
Renshaw failed again.
Alex Carey got
130 odd. First time. I think Matthew Wade a little bit belatedly got a 70 or an 80 today. Matthew Wade got a few runs. So
was it a Johnny A type innings? A second dig, relevant?
Didn't really get to watch it. And I'm not really sure in what relevance to the game it was, but I just heard he got a few runs.
I think it could have been later on because Jordan still got 100.
Yeah, Silk did get 100. Tasmania got a lot of runs today. They were 4 for 390. So pretty much all their batsmen got runs today, from the sounds of it. George Bailey got a few as well. So
we also got Renshaw failed again.
Yeah.
I think made 5. Something like that. Bit of cause for concern. Maybe the selectors' right decision there at the moment.
Oh, it was at the time. I think we all thought he was a shoo-in.
Yeah,
All he needed to do was probably make a 50.
Well, we all thought Neville was
innings.
The shoe-in as well, and we all thought potentially even Maxwell.
So
he was the one that no one disputed. The controversial ones were Marsh and Payne, and they've worked out pretty well so far. You can't really complain about them. So
I think there's a bit of he's in a bit of a form slump, but you back him. He's still young.
Yeah,
and you hope the Queensland team itself don't just cast him away.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have thought so. It's important for him to try work through it.
Yeah.
And just for them to keep on talking.
He will. If it's 12 months, I mean, you know, bloke's got youth on his side, so not any issues there. No. One I wanted to bring up, and I think you've actually sort of touched on this in the rundown, is the whole bullying and sledging again has reared its ugly head in the series. Is England really trying to claim... There's a couple of articles out there that, you know, England have claimed that they unsettled Smitty by putting in the short mid on there and all that jazz. I can't actually see that being any reason for why he got bowled in the first
inning. They're trying to get a win.
Yeah.
Plain and simple. They're trying to get a win. They're actually trying to get inside his head now.
Yeah.
The thing I'm most... flabbergasted about is the fact that all of a sudden we're bullies.
Yeah.
Steve Smith was disrespecting England for laughing at Cam Bancroft when I think he actually did them a favour by making light of the situation. That's come out the blue for me, especially when the likes of Jimmy Anderson comes out and says their bullies when he's already come out before that and said he loves the talk.
Yeah, he loves a strange cat like that. Yeah. It was an interesting comment, I think.
Yeah. I don't think
they can win either way. Either Australia are being accused of being too nice on the field and too matey and not being ruthless enough, or they're being accused of being bullies. There's not really much in between.
The problem we got is, as a nation, our cricketers, we always get pounded on for the lip.
Mm.
Anyone else does it, no one says boo.
Mm.
And that's the biggest problem I have with certain teams out there, India. There's always this conception, that we're real aggressive and, you know, we cross the line all the time where other teams do it all the time.
Mm.
And they always seem to get on the front foot and put all the blame onto us.
Yeah, it's,
but you don't hear them do that when they win.
No.
It's only when they lose.
Yeah.
No, I think...
I hate India. Just quietly. Worst side.
Well, we're definitely not getting any of this
now. You gave me a hard time when I had a crack at them before, and you just flat out say I hate them.
No, I hate the fact that they... Like, some of them to watch, honestly, absolutely sensational.
Mm.
Like, you got to give it to the bloke. Kohli is an absolute superstar.
Yeah. You love to hate him.
Yeah.
He's a great cricketer.
Yeah,
and that's why we hate him.
Yeah, exactly right. But yeah, is he a right tanker? Yeah, probably is too. But, you know, just the way that India like to try and own world cricket, and try and dictate it, that just does my head in. And I think that's why I think they sort of cop that tag as probably the most hated nation out there. I mean,
we're talking about actually cricketing board here.
I'm not saying
Britain
here.
Doesn't hate the country.
No,
it's the ball cricketing board.
I haven't been there yet, so there's still time.
given that cricket is their religion, pretty much slating the whole country.
Yeah.
And we play them. They come here next summer, so that'll be a big series.
Four tests. Because they only like playing four test series.
And there might not even be one at Brisbane.
And there won't be. I was listening to the discussion. The Gabba will miss out because of the new stadium, Perth.
Yep.
We'll get an Adelaide Oval, Sydney, Melbourne a lock.
Yep.
So the Gabba won't get the big Indian.
We won't get a traditional one. I think we're going to get a follow-up.
There's two Sri Lanka.
You'll get Sri Lanka.
You'll get Sri Lanka along with Hobart.
Wow.
Or maybe it might be Darwin and Hobart that get the two tests.
That'd be nice. Gabba misses out. But you can have 2 1-days to make up for it.
Oh, thanks, man.
I think that's what they did to the Wacker a couple of years ago.
For me, it's... You hear the first sort of tunes of the cricket going on TV and you just think, here we are,
it's
Brisbane.
It's
a tradition. Yeah.
Because of the new stadium.
Yeah.
If it was at the Wacker, we would have lost.
Yeah.
Plain and simple.
Yeah.
Mm.
But because we got the new stadium, why not make use of 60,000
seats? I get it. I get it.
They're not going to throw away the day-night test.
And they're not going to throw away Melbourne or Sydney.
Melbourne or Sydney.
Yeah.
So it's
I think Boxing Day is going to stay.
Get it up to Queensland.
Yeah. If it's not bucketing down.
Boxing Day at the Gabba.
Jeez, imagine the uproar on that.
Yeah, that would be controversy.
Yeah,
that would be controversial. But now look, apart from that, it's England actually were okay, I thought, bowling. They bowled without a bit of luck.
Yeah.
But they were a bit far too short and they were just...
They had bad luck with their reviews. The LBW shouts look good, you know, live. And then the referrals obviously showed them to be going over the top, but... You know, and any other day, then they get those wickets. Sean Marsh doesn't make 130 odd.
Marshy himself said that he actually thought it pitched outside. That's why he called it.
Oh yes, he did say that.
Outside,
yeah, he did. That's right.
Pitching
outside. He did. Mm.
On another day,
yeah,
it could have been different. But I thought their attack was just too much of the same. It was this.
Yeah, if the ball's not doing much, it's a bit pedestrian. But they didn't bowl that badly. You've got to give credit to Australia. They batted well.
I think you can tell that scoring rate over the first two tests that it has been tough for our batters.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Scoring at 2.6 and over, basically, for the whole innings.
They have done a job.
Yeah.
But they just haven't had the cutting edge like our attack has.
Yeah. No, it's... they've come back into it, and tomorrow will be a very interesting day of play.
Yeah. So, what are your thoughts on the rest of this test?
I think Australia will steady a little bit tomorrow. I can see them probably getting lead of maybe 320, 330. England trying to chase it down. Look, I don't see them getting that. I'd say it'll be over early day five, and I think Australia will get a fair few wickets tomorrow night with the swinging ball, and yeah, Gary Lyon might finish it off for us. But so I'm tipping Australia victory, but by I'll say about maybe 100 runs.
Definite Australia victory. I'm going to pen that one in now.
Is that also your prediction?
Australia. They win. I think after tomorrow, I think Australia... I've sent your comments exactly. Australia's going to settle tomorrow. Just be too easy for them, I think, by the end of it. We'll probably bat until almost before dinner, I'd imagine. Probably get ourselves that fair lead, and then give ourselves a day and a half.
They probably will get a 350 lead.
Yeah.
Well, before dinner, I dare say they're going to have about 400.
400, yeah.
Yeah.
Because they're only 140 off that.
Well, that's it.
They bat that far, they're going to score 140.
Yeah, exactly. So I think there'll be a few sacrificial lambs going out in the Aussie wickets there. They're just probably going to swing a bit, which should make for some good entertainment. And then we'll clean them up, I think, with a day and a half to go.
A day and a half.
Tomorrow.
Yeah, so we're gonna bowl them out in like 10 overs.
We're only in day three. We're only in day three.
Yeah, tomorrow's day four.
So we're gonna bat till 10.
Yeah, and you'll have a day and a half to bowl them out.
So we're gonna bowl them out in half a session.
You said we're going to win with a day and a half, which means we'd have to win by halfway through the session, second session tomorrow.
God, you people. It's working with amateurs here.
Learn how to speak.
Simple. Yeah, okay. We'll play on advantage. Yeah.
I think we'll win.
Yeah.
First session, day five. If we can't get wickets tomorrow night, then we got a game on.
Mm.
Then it could go deep into day five, and who knows?
Yeah.
But I think first session, day five.
Yeah.
I think we'll bat at least halfway through second session tomorrow.
Mm.
Maybe just go all the way to the end of the session. Be fresh after that. But
give our bowlers a good break, I suppose. So.
Yep.
With Lyon in as a night watchman, you know, maybe get a Dizzy Gillespie.
On the talk about of the goat, we might as well throw to Rowdy's big dog of the week.
Yeah. Oh, that ties in well with what we've just been talking about. Look, had quite a few options this week for my big dog, but for this week of podcast, the big dog of the week, the yard for this week, it is Sean Marsh's. I nearly said his name wrong. Sean Marsh's the big dog this week. Look, he's been in and out of the test team. We know there's been lots of reasons. The form at times hasn't been great. Injuries haven't helped him, and also he's probably been a little bit unlucky at times as well. His form maybe hasn't been that bad, and he's been the one that's missed out. So he's been given another chance, and good on him for the way he batted to get his the 130 odd not out. He batted really well. He batted so patiently. Probably you're not used to seeing Sean bat so patiently, or he's adding that into his game now. But what impresses me the most is the amount of times he's missed out in the team. He always goes back to state level. He scores a lot of runs. He just pumps out the runs for WA, and so he's earned his chance and a lot of pressure on him. So I think he would feel a lot of satisfaction from that.
Yeah.
The test ton that he got in the second test. So I think it's a massive moment for him. He's 34, but he's still got a few good years in him if he can keep the form up. So he could be, if you look at somebody like a Damien Martin, he came back into the team at an older age and still had quite a few good years in him at test level. So, if Marsh can go down the same path, that'd be fantastic. So, yeah, to Marshy this week, he's my big dog of the week. It's his yard.
Welcome back to the Sports Head Podcast. Again, you're here with myself, Rowdy, and Brendan. And we might as well finish off with
your
still predictions.
Here. Predictions go to myself. Look, your highlight of the week was the the Wildcats Breakers game in New Zealand last week, broke the big hoodoo in New Zealand, and I tipped, that was my prediction, I tipped the Wildcats coming off the international break. I thought their players would be fresh, and, you know, Gleeson had a lot of time to, you know, formulate plans, and so I did tip we were gonna win, and we did. I wanted to get a bonus point for the exact score. I tipped 90-85. It was 89-73. So I nearly got the Wildcat score correct. I wasn't far off, but I guess no bonus point for me. But I did get the result correct. So big win for the Wildcats. They're 4 years since they'd won in New Zealand. So I'll take that. My prediction for this week, we haven't really talked about the Champions League much. We're nearly at the end of the first group stage. And look, I was having a look through. Most of the groups are fairly well decided, or there's, you know, it's likely that, you know, certain teams are going to go through. There's not too much on the line, but, you know, in one of the groups, Group G, you've got Besiktas are going through. They're on 11 points, they're guaranteed. You've got Porto and RB Leipzig, both on 7 points each. And Porto have slightly better goal difference. And looking at who they play, both are at home. RP Leipzig played Besiktas, and with Besiktas always already got top spot up for top spot sewn up. Yeah, they'll play a weaker side in that game. So I think RP Leipzig are a good chance to win. But Porto play Monaco at home, and I think both teams are going to win. So I think Porto are going to go through the group stage. So I'm going to tip Porto to go through just ahead of RB Leipzig, and they'll just go through on goal difference. That's my tip anyway on the Champions League. My prediction, I should say. What have you got there, Warnie? What's your prediction? And how'd you go last week?
I was partial right for last week. I did tip the Aussies to win the World Cup final. But I did tip them by 24 points. Or, yeah, 20 by 24.
Would have been nice to have a combined 24 points in the game.
Which you still would have negative points.
which in theory, is still more than a soccer result there anyway. So, if you...
We covered this, didn't we?
Well,
one try to... Liverpool was 5-1 the other night. That's six goals.
Well, that's six scoring shots. Yeah. But it's still 4-0 if we won by 24. Or won 24-0.
Right. Yeah, but you didn't.
That doesn't matter. So I still 1-0. Quiet, you. I did tip for Holmes to score three tries. Well, he didn't.
There's only one scored, so we couldn't score three.
Didn't get the hat trick.
We didn't even get the one. But... I don't know. Am I getting half a point because I tipped the Aussies, or is it a point 0.015?
The rest was an extra, so you're getting a point.
Oh, sweet.
Result. So, I mean,
we'll use the Duckworth Lewis method and.
Yeah, divided by the number. Yeah.
You now need to get 39 off one.
So. I like that odd. My prediction for this week, we've got the WBBL starting.
What a catch by Gary.
Oh,
sorry, we had to
we got the news going.
We had to relive the Gary Lyon catch.
Just interrupt my transmission. Renegades and the Thunder to start off the WBBL on Saturday. Interesting start time, 10:45 a.m. I'm not sure if that's local or
it's local.
That's local.
Three games.
Triple header.
There's a triple header Sunday too.
Ah, there you go. I'm going to go flip of the coin, and because I like green a little bit better than I do red, and I'll tip the Thunder to get first points.
All right, the Thunder.
Fair enough.
Fair call. Another very exciting. The Big Bash is back.
With the 50-50.
Yeah.
Looking forward to the Big Bash.
Well, I was going to flip a coin, but
that would have been a bit more.
How many retract that? You want me to flip a bottle top? Yeah.
How many tries will be in that game?
How many tries? I reckon it'll be 3-0.
They're more than
the World Cup final, that's for sure.
So, White Rabbit heads.
Yeah.
Another one, tails.
All right, what's heads?
Oh, yeah. Thunderheads.
Thunderheads.
This is working well.
I'm going for the Renegades. Renegades are going to go for the win.
Renegades are funk.
Yep.
In all fairness, you know, without making light of the game, it should be a good game. So, if you're not doing anything, sit down and have a watch.
Good cup, Steve.
But mine last week was my prediction was Simmons simply sizzles. I'm pretty sure.
Yes.
I turned that.
Yeah.
And although he had a very good game, he had one not so good and one okay game. Whoa. So he didn't quite get to my prediction of two double doubles and a triple double.
He's been running hot, and he still played well. Do we give him half a point?
No.
What he's just said.
No, I don't know.
Maybe because we've been bagging out rugby league for the last 5 minutes.
No. He did play well, though.
Mm. It's good to say. I mean,
the 76ers split their 4 games 2-2. They had a bit of a tough run as well. They played the top three in their conference and number 7. So they lost to the top two, which was the Cavs in Boston. And they beat Detroit and the Wizards. Sure, could be wrong in the last one, but yeah so they split it 2-2. So
the team had a good result. From, so pick one.
the team had a good result, and he missed a game too.
Yeah,
as well in that.
They rested him on. Yeah, I heard an interesting stat actually when I was watching the basketball on the weekend, the NBL, and apparently outside the Americans in the NBA, Australia have the most players involved in the NBA of any other nation outside the US. So I found that was interesting, but that was a stat was thrown at me. So that's, you know, they're having a big impact over there. And then there's a lot of US imports that are now looking, come to the NBL as a pathway to get into the NBA, which is something that you never would have dreamt would have happened a few years ago.
No,
so
not when it was at its lowest.
Mm.
When it had teams faltering and not knowing if it was still going to exist.
Yeah.
It's in a pretty strong position now.
It is.
So.
Happy days.
Oklahoma Thunder as well, just beat the Spurs too.
OKC.
So my prediction over the next coming weeks.
What do you
is
got?
That, being a Liverpool supporter,
ooh, yes.
And we're knocking in the goals.
We are smashing them in.
We have 2 games this week. We
more
have
than tries.
Champions League. Definitely more than World Cup final tries.
We unfortunately also concede a lot too. But
So we got 2 games. We're playing Spartak Moscow midweek. And then we're playing the Premier League on the weekend.
Big derby.
Big derby. So mine is that both games are going to total 10 goals.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. I like it. So both games will total 10 goals.
Yeah.
All right. I think that's five goals per game.
5 goals per game.
Yeah, that's the mass work. I might ask Warney on those mass... he's giving me a glare.
lots of excitement. So for Liverpool supporters, maybe not good excitement. Depends how it goes. It was a 3-2 result on one of them.
Could
so,
be good, could be bad.
But yeah, 10 goals, why not?
Yeah, that's a good one. I like that prediction. Well done, Steve. All right, and moving on, I think we're looking at the what to watch.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll throw it over to Warney there.
Yeah,
what are you looking forward to watching?
I think we'll tee up the WBBL, I think. We'll have a squizzy at the women's game this week and see if we can get some hot action to kick off the season. Wow.
And
the boys went straight down South Street.
There's 6 games on the weekend. Yeah. 2 triple headers.
I thought you were watching the Brisbane Heat. No.
Yeah, no. I'll try and watch what I can. I'm not going to lie to you. It's going to be difficult. But
you better not lie to me.
Sorry, Rowdy.
If your batting form keeps up, you got all day.
Yeah, you can. You have plenty of time to watch.
Well, it was only Sunday. I told you. Settle down.
I made runs on Saturday.
What about you, Rowdy? What are you looking forward to this week?
Warney, you're only as good as your last innings, mate.
Golden blob.
Happy days. What am I looking forward to? Oh, you referred to the big game on the weekend. Look, Liverpool-Everton, the big Merseyside derby. It's going to be a cracker. It's on Sunday night, 10:15 PM our time, so Western Standard Time, which is a good time to be able to stay and watch. I think even if you're working Monday, I'll certainly be staying up. It's going to be a cracker. Liverpool are at home. We've got a couple of home games. I think the next 3 games are at home, including the Champions League game this week. So our away form actually has been quite good in the last month. But we can see if we can carry that form to the home pitch. I think there will be goals. There'll be a few goals. I just hope they're going in at the right end. Everton obviously made a bit of a comeback. You know, that last few games, they've got a bit of form. Liverpool have been in really red hot form in the last probably month or so. So it's going to be a cracker. Yeah, Liverpool, Everton, get around that one on Sunday night, and hopefully that the guy that's not here will not be happy by the end of it, wherever he might be.
Hopefully we can send him a few nice messages.
Yeah. I'm hoping so.
But yeah, no, I'll definitely be watching that myself.
Game. It's a game.
Yeah. So look,
big
for
game.
Me, apart from obviously the 2 Liverpool games this week, I reckon it's going to be a big round of the NBL.
Yeah.
Like after last week, especially the Breakers losing twice.
Some good fixtures, aren't there, this week?
There are. You've got the Breakers start the round. They've got the Bullets travelling back there. So
the Bullets got to go the reverse now.
Yeah, so they'll be looking for some revenge. And
that'll be tough.
Get back on the winning streak, to the winners list.
Yeah.
So they don't want to make it three in a row.
No.
Then you've got the Cats taking on the 36ers at home.
That'll be a good game.
Yep. Another big game. The Cairns welcome United.
Ah.
It's another one.
Cairns seem to have United's number, don't they?
And they're very strong at home. Mm. And both sides, to be honest, are up and down.
Yeah.
They can play really good one week, and you think that they can push up to the, you know, maybe top three, and then they'll have a stinker. So, and then the Cats travel to Illawarra, who have made a comeback since the last time we played them. They're playing a lot better basketball.
They are. They're starting to come into the form that they had late last season that got them into the grand final. But I agree. The NBL is very exciting at the moment, and I'll certainly be at the arena Friday night. That'll be a cracking game. Really looking forward to it. The Wildcats haven't been home for a while. It'll be a big game. Adelaide, a quality team as well. Just looking forward to seeing JP, my man. The big dog.
A big doubleheader as well.
Is that plaque down?
Can you organise that plaque for me, Warnie?
After the us, they then go home and pretty much close the round off playing the Breakers.
Oh, do they?
So, yeah.
Yeah, okay. And they've started putting some the Monday night fixtures now. There's a few.
Yeah,
there
could be a Monday night one. Mm. But in regards to probably the must-see, that's the last one of the weekend. So, you know, you've got a fair chunk of the top five, top six playing each other there.
Yeah.
So, you know, who knows what can happen. The ladder's either going to expand a bit more or compress really tight.
Yeah, interesting fixtures. And with the Breakers, losing two on the bounce, it'll be interesting to see how they come back. Yeah. Look, it's going to be really hard for the Bullets going over there and doing them on their own court, their own very oddly coloured court in New Zealand. It's really dark. we talk about
it's
labels.
It's a fashion statement here.
It just bothers me when I watch that New Zealand game. The court is just such a dark colour. It's just
makes the ball bounce lower.
Yeah, the carry is too.
Yeah.
We'll move on.
Let's sum this up. Go to the beverage, boys.
We'll go to the beverage. Since we're talking about colours and what things are
labels.
Like,
segues in nicely.
Yeah. We'll start off with Brendan.
Well, the label. Ooh. No. 99.9% sugar free, actually. I think you've just got a winner there.
Does it say that
on the side?
And it says on average, but yes, you're correct.
Okay. So your one is only 10% sugar-free. Everyone else is 100.
Yeah,
it's like a lucky dip. Actually, I don't mind it. I'm still not sure it's one I'd spend a bit of time on unless it was free, which it is. So kudos. I think 3.5. I think sort of sits nicely, decent enough, like without being overly impressed. So no, handy result.
I'll go on. Look, I can't differ too much from Warnie. It's good beer. It goes down quite well. It's you know, it's given it's a white ale. It's a little bit Hoegaarden-y. Got that Hoegaarden-y kind of taste to it. I think it's good for a couple
Who's
of
garden?
Beers. Yeah, not my garden.
I've seen your garden.
Yeah,
not a euphemism either, guys.
Lots of red flowers.
Yeah, blue flower, red dots.
All right, back to the beer. Look, I think it's the kind of beer that, you know, to have a couple, if you're going to have one or two, it goes down pretty well. You wouldn't want to drink too many of them, but I'll say 3.5. Go 3.5. Pretty standard, I think.
I think this is going to get a 4 from Steve, purely from the label.
I'm leaning that way.
The label's got a lot going on.
It does have a lot going on. I mean, we've just come off a couple of real plain, bland labels. And this has this...
I'm pretty
nice
sure this is a picture out of Where's Wally.
Foresty sort of picture on there.
I think it looks like
a
label.
White rabbit jumping over a river of some sort.
Very Alice in Wonderland?
Yeah, maybe.
Looks like a label from M. Night Shyamalan.
Yeah. Some alien's going to jump out and kill someone. Then it's all going to be a dream.
But I bring you love.
I thought it was a trailer for a new movie. But,
seriousness.
Slender
It actually went down quite well. But again, like you guys, I don't know how much I could drink.
Let's test that out.
All right, boys.
Uber. But yeah, so look,
Sam's not coming home tonight.
I'll give it 3.75.
Wow.
Extra 0.25 for the label.
Yeah, okay.
Because it was a... No, you know what? 4. The label.
Yeah.
Why not?
Round up.
I'll change my
the,
mind.
The label's so good it's going to work.
Yeah,
even 4.
There.
An even 4. No, well done.
Alright, so...
No good beer, well done. The beverage of the week.
The beverage of the week. White Rabbit, White Ale. Alright, thank you for listening. And well done, guys. We'll see you all again next week.
Another good week.
Just a quick shout out to Mr. Cheesing McCheeselton Weasel. Obviously, I'm not sure where he is this week. I believe he's in Las Vegas.
I think repetitive notations.
I thought he was in India.
He could.
I thought he's in Delhi.
Is he?
New Delhi.
Well, I'm just going by his little video there that self-professed, self-indulgent. Post that he put up about him in Vegas.
He might be in Rockingham trying to win back those viewers you lost, or listeners, I should say.
Nah, they're a lost cause, eh?
They're lost cause.
I don't even think they have the interweb down there. But no, shout out to Cheezel. Hope you're enjoying Mr. Las Vegas.
Yeah.
We'll catch you when you get back.
I think he opened his mouth and said we were going to have him on the show tonight.
Yeah, in spirit.
In spirit.
We might have to edit him into the show.
It'll
be like the talking head.
We couldn't quite figure out how to get him on. We tried really hard, I think.
Just if you're really missing him that much, just go and watch his video over again. And he might actually lead on to where he is. So if you find out where he is, let us know.
And you, if you're listening in Vegas, go find him.
Yeah.
Where's Eric?
Where's Eric? Mm.
Could be a game.
Yeah, well, I've got a backdrop for it.
He wears the same kind of clothing, doesn't he?
Yeah,
he
I think
wears a bit of blue.
I think I've just found him on the White Rabbit label.
He's chasing the rabbit.
Yeah, I think the last shirt he was wearing did resemble somewhat of an Italian tablecloth.
Okay, fair enough. With that, we might as well go before we offend anyone else.
Mm.
And we'll hopefully catch you next week.
All right, have a good week.
See you guys.